Now, here on Verulam in the Morning, for the last quite a lot of weeks, probably about 10 weeks or so, we've been talking about ways in which we can all help to save the planet. It's all part of the run-up to the COP26 climate conference in Glasgow happening early next month. And joining us this morning is Sushil Rao. Now, Sushil lives in Harpenden, has been involved with Sustainable St Albans over many years, and is keen on getting us all cycling and walking more, aren't you, Sushil?
I am indeed, yes.
Now, why is that? Why do you think that walking and cycling matters so much?
Well, there's probably two main reasons. One is it's just a really pleasant way to get around. You get out, you notice what the weather's doing, you notice the seasons, you feel part of being outside rather than in a box or a house or whatever. And the other reason is that it's more environmentally sound. You're using less carbon in walking and cycling. And then there is actually a third one, in that you might just get a little bit fitter.
Yes. Now, that's interesting. Of course, you presumably need to feed up with food once you get somewhere after cycling. Does it make you have more of an appetite, actually, just out of interest?
Some people, yes. Some people know. For me, not always, and certainly not when I'm cycling.
No.
It does depend on the bike ride and how cold it is and all sorts of things.
Now, talking about the weather, how much time do you spend getting wet? You know, if you're out cycling and walking, do you find that it is quite common that the weather's against you?
Not really. It depends when you're cycling and whether you have to cycle at a specific time. If you're able to pick and choose, then you just kind of tend not to head out when it's pouring with rain. If you can wait half an hour, it often dries up a bit. But I can remember one autumn winter cycling in to work each day, and I didn't get wet once. And it just depends. It really does depend. Yeah.
Now, if somebody's considering thinking, well, okay, yes, I could ditch the car for the occasional mile or two's journey, but they've not really cycled for a long time. What would you suggest? Should they go out and buy some fantastic racing bike, or what should they do?
First of all, what I'd suggest is looking in your shed. So many of us have an old bike in the shed, and if you do, just either if you're comfortable yourself, check it over or get someone to check it over and just see if you like cycling. I wouldn't buy an expensive bike to begin with. If you haven't got a bike, either see if you can borrow one or buy something really cheap to see if you like it. If you really like it, then find the sort of bike that works for you, whether that's a all singing, all dancing road bike, more of a mountain type bike, or even a sit up and beg type, shopper type bike, depending what sort of cycling you do, and find one that works for you. Forget what anyone else tells you you should need. Think about what works for you, what you like, and what you feel comfortable on.
Right, and there are now these sort of almost what you might call hybrid bikes, which have some battery power built into them, aren't there? What do you think about those?
I think they're brilliant. They're not, I don't want one because I don't feel I need one. But for someone who isn't very fit or is getting older and wants to carry on cycling or has to take a lot of, whether it's shopping or taking weight of some form or going up lots of hills, whatever, it can really help. If it can get someone out on a bike a bit more, then it's great.
Yeah, and it's just that little bit of extra assistance for the rather steeper slopes, isn't it?
It is, yes. And if you're having problems pedalling, if you might be able to on your own go half a mile, you might go 3 miles.
Right.
It sort of just gives people flexibility. Also, if you're cycling with someone else who always goes a lot faster than you, then actually, if you've got an electric assist bike, you can keep up, and then get your own bike. back by whizzing up the hill past them.
Very good. Now, in this area, what's it like cycling around? I mean, some of the roads are quite busy. We don't have masses of cycling route provision, do we?
We have some cycling route provision and some which is better than others, depending what sort of cycling you do. So I do cycle a lot around here. I'm quite happy on a lot of the roads. There's some roads I like, I'm happy cycling on, some that I'll avoid. So for instance, I'll happily cycle on the main road from Harpenden to St Albans. Although it's busy, it's wide.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the road, the lower Luton Road in Harpenden, I'm less keen on cycling because it's equally as busy, but it's narrower, so it's harder for people to get by, so they get more frustrated. It's what you're comfortable with, but we do have some cycleways, I say, between St Albans and Harpenden, within St Albans, and there are some cycling on some of the lanes if you can be really, really enjoyable as well. If you're going out for a ride to for local pub or something like that, rather than perhaps on a commute or something.
Now, what about motorists and cyclists? It can be a bit daggers drawn, can't it?
It can be. What I'd say is most cyclists actually drive. There's a lot of me that would really like, as part of the driving test, for the person to actually go out on a bike, to actually realise what it's like on a bike as you go whizzing
idea.
Past them.
Yeah.
But we kind of all want the same thing. We want to get from A to B. What I'd like motorists to remember is that a cyclist is actually really vulnerable. So give them a bit more space. Most cyclists are not actually trying to annoy a motorist. Some cyclists are. Equally, some motorists are annoying, but most motorists aren't trying to annoy cyclists, and most cyclists aren't trying to annoy motorists. They're just trying to get from A to B in the easiest way possible.
Right. Now, in the area, there's talk of some more cycle routes coming. Hertfordshire County Council are working with St Albans District Council on very early stages plans, but we do have some cycleways, don't we, around the area. Give us a couple of examples.
So we have the cycle path between St Albans and Harpenden on the main road. So it's the path next to the main 1081. There's also Swan Walk, but it is a cycleway which goes from Harpenden into Luton and partway towards Wheathampstead. Okay. And that's a really nice one. You can cycle along the Nicky Line from Harpenden through Redbourne up to Hemel. You can cycle along the Alban Way from St Albans to Hatfield. And of course,
around nice
Hatfield,
one.
There's loads of cycle paths. And then there's also the Green Ring around St Albans. So there are a few.
And it does mean that you can't avoid roads entirely if you're off on an errand or something, but you might be able to avoid quite a few of them and only use the roads at the beginning and end of your journey, as it were.
Exactly, yes. And then picking the quieter roads, if that's what you prefer.
And any top tips on how to stay safe if you're cycling around and saving the planet?
Wear a helmet.
Yes.
Wear visible clothing, bright visible clothing, and use your lights, even in bright sunlight, almost especially in bright sunlight. So you're making yourself as visible as possible.
Yes, and it's not like the old days. I'm old enough to remember when you had to put the dynamo on to get your lights going, and that really slowed you down. So now it's these very energy efficient LED things, aren't they, flashing and all sorts, which
and if you imagine on a sunny day, when you're driving into the sunshine, if a cyclist is coming the other way with a flashing light on, they're much more likely to be seen than if they don't have their lights on. Whereas a cyclist actually cycling along can see perfectly well. And it's sort of putting your lights on all the time just to help, as the driver's going around, they catch something and see it, rather than seeing the cyclist rather late. And the same with brighter clothing. It doesn't have to be fluorescent yellow or green, but just something that's a bit brighter and not black or grey.
All right. Well, you've inspired me to go and pump up the tyres on my bicycle now, which are probably well deflated, I'm sorry to say, and give it a bit of a go around St Albans, maybe. So thanks very much for talking to us. And another way to help save the planet, get on your walk or get on your bicycle instead of getting in the car for those relatively short journeys. Sushil, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your perspectives on cycling and walking.
You're very, very welcome.
And Sushil's blog is on the Sustainable St Albans website. That's sustainablestalbans.org.